Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman, I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of The Rejected Writer's Book Club.
Welcome to Blondie and the Brit. This week we have a second half of an interview we had this summer with Luke Romaine. He is an international best-selling author, an indie author, and he talks about one of the books he talks about in this part of the interview is one that he said he's working on now, but it's actually out. So here's a quick message from him, and then we'll get right to the rest of the interview.
Trinity's out now, and you can grab it from Amazon in either Kindle or paperback format. It's a great read, and it will definitely twist your senses.
Luke Romaine published his first book, The Dark Path, in 2009 and saw it voted to the top 10 horror novels of that year. Luke has gone on to become a USA Today and international Amazon best-selling author and is now one of the most popular indie authors in the ever-growing ebook market. He personally completes everything from cover art to final formatting, working tirelessly with editors to refine the best stories possible for his readers. Welcome, Luke.
Hi there.
Sometimes when we get a great author who, like you, you've got so much to say that's really interesting, we're able to actually split the interview into two and then run you twice in the year, which is great because then you get a little bump, you know, later in the year and then go back and often listen to the first interview. But you've had a lot of great things to say.
Yes. It's very exciting.
So you credit some of your success to like being hands-on with the production of your books from cover to the formatting. Tell us a little bit about your process and anything you think might be helpful for somebody starting out for the first time, what they should be focusing on.
Definitely focus on the story. The story is important. The characters create a lot of depth in your characters. Some of my earlier books, which I still like the books, but some of my earlier books skimmed over the character creation and made them very two-dimensional, which was okay for the books that I was writing at the time because they were predominantly action-based and I wanted them to be fast-paced. I didn't want them to be slowed down with a lot of depth for these characters. I wanted them to just, you know, be funny and fun characters and everything was happening around them. But that's what worked out. But in my more modern books, I prefer creating very three-dimensional characters, having multi-layered characters, not just a good or a bad person. There's a lot of depth to them in regards to, you know, their backgrounds and stuff like that. My latest book, the guy actually doesn't even, he's got amnesia. So I've got to create depth from that, which is a lot of fun.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a challenge.
Yeah, it is. This is what I'm saying. You've got to challenge yourself. My last book, Walking with Shadows, when I came up with the concept for that, it terrified me. It utterly terrified me. I said to my wife, I don't know if I can do this, but I've got to try.
Good. Love that.
Tell us the premise. That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
There's a best-selling author who lives in New York. He's a millionaire and rarely leaves his apartment. He's almost a hermit. He goes down to South America to a book festival. He gets convinced to go down there by his agent because it's a lot of money and goes down there for these book signings and interviews and stuff. On his way back, the plane crashes in, where was it? Columbia, I think. I've forgotten where it crashed. Anyway, the plane crashed and there was only two survivors. There was him and a 10-year-old boy.
Wow.
And this is a guy who doesn't know how to deal with normal people.
Wow.
You know, and so the only way he could really communicate with his boy and try and get the boy over his fears was to tell him stories, fictional stories, and sort of incorporate it with the world that was going on around them. And as their journey goes on, they're being hunted by guerrilla troops who want to kidnap them and hold them for ransom and stuff like that. So they're running through this entire jungle. As their journey continues, the characters from his story start to come to life around them.
Wow.
This is cool.
Start to help them and through these different sort of scenarios. And the concept for that, I thought of it, it's very much similar to sort of Life of Pi or The Princess Bride even. If you ever saw the movie The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
That sort of concept of that duality of the storylines, two sides of it, it really terrified me. And for that one, I knew how it was going to finish. Most of my books, I don't know how it's going to finish. So targeting that pinpoint really, but it worked out fantastically. It's the book I'm most proud of.
Wow, so creative.
And you see, it's interesting that it was the one that was the most scary for you, that it ended up being the one you're most proud of. I love that.
Yeah.
And that's the book that just went to 34 on Amazon last week.
Yay! Wow.
Good job. And I love the creative process. So it's like you remind me of, you know, just like an adventure that you do something that scares you to death, but you make your, once you decide what you're doing, you make yourself do it so that you experience that. I think that's amazing. Yeah. That's great.
And that's it. From now on, if I ever come up against something I'm daunted by with my writing, I can look back on that and say how hard that was to get through and say, well, I made it through that.
And I bet that's added a lot of thriller element because you were in a place where you weren't sure how you were going to fix stuff. And so added that thriller-esqueness to the story, I'm sure.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. And it's a very popular book. The reviews for it are great. I mean, it's an average of 4.8 so far on Amazon. So that's from 22 reviews so far, but it's getting more reviews every week, which is nice.
Yeah.
That's Walking with Shadows.
And that's, what? How many have you written before that?
I've written 10 before that.
Right. It's your 11th book.
Yeah.
Wow, fabulous. So that actually leads nicely into the next question. You have a number of books out, including some bundles and some that you just sell as one-offs. Is there a reason that you do that, that you bundle them up? Tell us about that process.
There's some people that will just buy both books straight off.
Right.
And having them bundled together, it allows them to get them both at the same time at a discount price. There's also the thing with KDP Select as an author. Because I've got my book exclusive with Amazon, I've got the KDP Select borrowing system. Can't remember if it's KDP Select or what it's called. But I get a percentage on the books borrowed per page. So the more books I've got out there, the longer they are, the better it is for me.
Hmm.
So bundle the books together.
And they sell better, the bundles, do they?
No, it's just an added option.
Right.
It doesn't detract from anything. It just gives people more options and it, once again, widens my network.
Yeah.
I've got more books on Amazon.
It's true, you know, that's true.
Yeah, there's not a lot of deep thought into it. It's like, well, I can do this thing, so I will do it. It doesn't take away from me, so yeah, why not do it? It's a bit of extra effort, creating the extra covers and stuff for things, but that's all stuff that I just do.
Yeah, that's right.
I need to ask about the covers, though. How do you, are you a graphic designer? How do you do the covers yourself?
I fumble my way through Photoshop.
There you go.
Wow, there you go.
When I first started doing this nonsense, I had a friend in Holland who did a lot of graphic design for books for the biggest Dutch publisher, did all the covers for Stephen King's books and Joe Hall's books and stuff like that. So he knew what he was on about, and I used to correspond with him because I had no idea how to do Photoshop at all.
Oh my God. And you don't mind challenges, do you?
No. So, and I did no formal training with it, nothing at all. I just kept fiddling around. And to this day, I still fiddle around with stuff. I'm fiddling around with 3D modeling at the moment, which, it breaks up the monotony of just writing. You can't write all the time.
Yeah.
So I like the graphic design concept of that side of things. So, I do that. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it's crap. I throw it away.
But you're always learning. So you're challenging your brain to look at things in different ways, which I think is great for the process.
Yeah. My book covers, I look back at my book covers as they've gone, and it's the same as my writing. It progresses, and there's different little subtle things that you learn, and they reflect each other. Reflections in a two-dimensional piece of art that is in your writing as well. The little subtle things are what makes it different. The shadowing and stuff like that in a picture also goes into a book. So, you know, the tiny little things that you add into a storyline can make the big difference long term, if that makes any sort of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a great analogy.
Tell us a little bit about your writing process. Do you sort of have a set time that you write? Do you write a number of words per day? How do you figure that out?
Yeah, I've got a bit of a process. I get up every day at around 2 p.m. because I work all night, so I'm not just sleeping in. I get up every day at 2 p.m., start writing on and off. I use a blocker on my browser, which blocks off social media so that I can't go onto Facebook and look at kittens for 3 hours and go, oh, geez, I'm supposed to be writing.
Oh, that's smart.
And I can either set that on a timer or just set it, go for it. Usually write in 500-word blocks. So that's a nice, easy thing to throw out in half an hour or whatever, 500 words, and then just, have a break for half an hour and then go back to it, hopefully. And I'll get about 3,000 or 4,000 words a day.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it's just being sort of focused on what you're doing. That blocker really helps. You can pick and choose which things you want to do. I used to just try and not have the internet on at all, but then I'd have to research something on Google.
Yeah. Right, that's what I was going to say. That would be my stress too.
Me too.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You go to research something and then all of a sudden, oh my God, oh, hang on, I've got an email. Oh no, yeah. And before you know it, a half an hour has gone past or an hour has gone past, and that's how it just builds up throughout the day and you just waste time.
Right.
Having something like that. Like Joe Finder, actually, I don't know if you know Joe Finder, he's a very good author. He was talking about his process was he had a sand timer, an hourglass.
Oh, wow.
That he would, it was a prop from one of the movies they did on one of his books. And he sat that beside his computer and just had that for the hour. And he had to write for the hour. I find if I try and write for a solid hour, I get a bit too sort of, not bored, but get a bit frayed around the edges. So
right.
I go 30 to 40 minutes is a good time for me.
Right.
And yeah, that includes research, whatever. Yeah. So sometimes I'll go a full 30, 40 minute block and I'll just research the entire time.
Right.
And as long as it's not involving, you know,
kids.
Twitter or stuff
kids,
like that.
Yeah.
Right.
That's okay.
So then you make time for your social media after that. Is that how you kind of work that?
I take the blocker off, and then I jump on Facebook, see what's come up on Facebook, and respond to anything that people have posted. And same with Twitter. Twitter's a lot easier because it's just scrolling all the time. But yeah, you go through Facebook, find everything there, emails, and look for humorous stuff to post and interesting stuff for them to post up on the social media. And then, yeah, by the time I've done that, it's time to do another set of writing and I'm recharged and ready to go.
Good for you.
That's a good
strategy.
What is your reach on, like, say, Twitter, and like how many followers do you have, and do you have like a full total for Facebook and all the other places that you are?
Say a full total. I've got 430,000 on Twitter.
Wow.
Facebook, I've got about 10,000, I think.
Wow. That's incredible.
That's between my friend page and my fan pages and stuff like that. So, and then there's Goodreads, which I never go to because it's just totally demoralizing.
Much time over there,
and you get lost in there anyway. I mean, the Goodreads is crazy in there. I don't know how to get in and out of that place.
Yeah, as an author, I hate going to there because it always leaves me feeling bad because you get good reviews on Amazon and then you go to Goodreads and it's like anyone can slap up anything that they want.
Well, I've heard 3 and 4 is like a 4 and 5 on Amazon, on Goodreads.
Yeah, I'm hoping that.
Just, right, they're a harder audience. They really are hard. You're right. I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. It seems that the people that post reviews on Amazon are actually doing it because they have to make an effort, I think. I don't know. The rankings on Goodreads is a completely different system. People just can go click. Oh, there you go. I'll give him 1 star and no one will know who it is. And there seems a bit more malice there sometimes as well. I know that people from social media who have disagreed with me over things have gone there and ranked all my books down. And
right.
I advise everyone not to take anything away from Goodreads. I love Goodreads itself, but I can't go to Goodreads as an author and see the things that are said about my books. I go in there and I do what I have to do. I change, update things and change my profile, whatever I have to do, and then get the hell out of there as quickly as possible.
Good advice.
It's interesting.
I think, you know, it's really easy to get overwhelmed by bad reviews, but the reality is you've got to focus on who you're really reaching. You know, those 5-star, 4-star people that are your audience is why you're there. And not everybody is going to love you. And so I think you're very smart just to really focus on the good because, you know, as long as you're still getting those reviews, you've got an audience. Those are the people that want to read it. So I think that's a very smart piece of advice.
Well, that's exactly right. A friend of mine, John Locke, he said in an interview or somewhere one time, he was just saying the bad reviews don't matter because those are people that you're not writing for.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Those aren't the people you want to impress. Those are the people that have read a book and gone, I'm never going to go back and read one of their book again. And that's great because they're never going to give you a bad review on one of your books.
Exactly. You want them to go, keep moving
that's
down the
exactly
bus.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Pester somebody.
Read one book, move along. You want the people that are loving your books, writing the 5-star reviews, and hopefully they outnumber the people that don't.
Yeah. So what are you working on right now, Luke?
I am working on, it's how best to describe it, a psychological thriller.
Ooh.
I can say this, a man who, like I've said, he's got amnesia. He wakes up.
Right.
And he keeps living through the murders of women by 3 different killers.
Wow.
He's seeing through their eyes them getting murdered. And it's not the same women, it's different women all the time. And this is apparently forced his brain to shut down and lose his memory. And the last time he wakes up, he's in an asylum. And he's woken up, he's in an asylum, no idea who he is or what's going on around him, but he knows that there's three killers out there that are serial killers that are working together, and no one will believe him.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Great premise.
That's great premise.
Now, are you
How did you come up with that idea?
I started writing, and that's what happened.
Wow, I love that.
That's the truth of it. I just started writing a scene, and it just popped, and I went, oh, hang on, keep going.
Oh, that's
and cool. I showed it to my wife, and she went, that's awesome. And so when she says that, I know it's worth following.
Oh, that's a great premise. I can't wait. That sounds like a really fun book to read. Not fun's the right word, but a good book to read.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite twisted. It's getting very deep. I'm about 80,000 words into it now. And like I say, I've got no idea where this one's going.
Wow.
None whatsoever. So it's
you're following the character without any memory. You're just in the same spot.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, when you write it just like that, you're kind of making it up on the fly. How much of it do you go back and have to pull out or tweak to make hints for things that end up at the end?
There's a lot of that. Yeah, in any book that I write, there's a lot of that because I'll come up with something that doesn't correspond with something earlier in the book. So, yeah, there's a big editing stage. My editing stage lasts at least as long as the first draft stage. So I aim for about 3 months for the first draft, and then it's usually around 3 months of editing until it's ready to go out there.
That's not my process too.
It's not bad though. So you do 2 books a year, then you take your big vacation and not do anything for a while?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I sometimes work, like the last vacation I just went on, that happened bang in the middle of writing, so I just had to take a break for a while, which sucks when you try and get back into the storyline, but I just started from the beginning and actually edited through what I'd already written.
There you go.
Cleaned that up a bit, and then I was back on par and ready to go with the rest of the storyline.
Yeah, that's where I am right now. I've been gone for 3 weeks, and I've kind of ignored it all. Now
you have to tune out sometimes. I mean, on holidays, you can't be writing. I think it's you're on holidays and you're not in the frame of mind to be putting yourself into imagination too much.
Yeah. I did start on the flight home. I did do so. I didn't have any kids nearby, so I started back on it. And it was so much fun. I feel so refreshed. It's like it was just coming right out of me. I didn't have any blocks. I didn't have any, I didn't have to pause at all. So it was really nice to get back to it. So
fabulous. Damn. Well, this is great. Hey, are you ready for a lightning round, Luke?
I'm ready for anything.
Okay, cool. So this is how it works. I'm going to ask you 8 questions. Oh, it might be even 10 questions. Let me turn the page.
Yes.
10 questions.
10.
Oh, good.
And they're just like, just one word or just a couple of sentences. You don't have to really think deeply about it. Just whatever comes to you. And we won't hold anything against you if you're like, that's not what I was thinking at the time, whatever.
It's 3 a.m. here. Just
who knows what we're going to get at 3 a.m.
Yeah, what's going to come out of my mouth at 3 a.m., please?
Excited to find out.
Yeah. So, what is your favorite band or artist?
What a wide question. What was I going to say? Disturbed.
Okay, I don't even heard of that group.
Disturbed, they just recently, one of their songs has become extremely popular. They've redone the old song Sound of Silence.
I think I have heard that.
Disturbed is a very good band that, helps me to get through the action scenes.
Oh, good. That's good to know. Left coast or right coast? And you can do Australia if you don't want to do America, but it's up to you.
Ooh. Left coast of America, right coast of Australia.
That's good.
Although I love New York, so I don't know.
That's a hard one, challenging. Okay, what is your favourite writing spot?
My office. I call it my cave.
There you go.
Cool. Is there not a lot of distraction for you in there? Is that why?
No, that's it. I've locked everything away. This is my room, and it's all me. I've got a big 5x4 photo of New York City right above my computer, and all my book covers on the walls. And a 13th century katana sitting on my shelf.
Oh, wow. Nice. That is awesome. That sounds really creative in there.
Yeah, that's fun. Inspiring. I think we know this answer, but are you a pantser or a plotter?
Pantser.
Yeah. If you could be transported back in time, where would you go?
Damn, that's a good one. Definitely not the Jurassic period.
Well, that's way back.
Yeah, I'd skip that one. You'd be dinner quick.
Yeah, I'm not a big runner. I have no idea. I've never even contemplated it. 1940s. They had good hats.
Good hats.
Oh my God. They also had a war. Just as a...
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? Okay, 1950s.
There you go.
Better hats, no war. Good.
Better hats. There we go.
If you had a superpower, what would you want it to be?
Freeze time.
Ooh.
Freeze time. But what would you do with that then?
I'd get more writing done.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Love that. Okay. Who or what inspires you?
Everyone. Everyone inspires me. There's so much that you can gain from just talking to anyone in the streets. Everyone has lived a story. It's not like every single person that you've ever met has lived a story. And some, they don't think it's an interesting story, but a lot of the stuff that they've done is interesting, and you can take anything away from that. Yeah, everyone is inspiring.
You know what I love about that answer is the fact is it shows very much your character that you are there to learn and be tuned in. So many people, when they talk to people, it's about themselves, getting their own voice across, but it sounds like you absorb, that you absorb everything around you, and I think that's a great gift.
It is.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at the work that I've done a lot of the times. Look, yeah, I won't say that I like a lot of the people that I have to deal with. You're dealing
right.
With
as just, a bouncer,
just
yeah.
People at their worst, like they're drunk and they're on drugs and they're stupid and annoying, but you know, a lot of the times there's still something there.
Yeah.
Every now and then something shines through and I meet someone, I'll help someone with something and they'll just be so utterly grateful. It's just lovely.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, but yeah, that's it. Look, the guy that I met on the street through making a comment about a guy with his balls hanging out of his underpants. Look at that. That came from nothing. And
so
it's turned into one of the best experiences of my life.
That's cool.
Wow. Now to the next question. What is your favourite writing or author moment so far?
That was it, definitely, by far.
Wow, I love that. That's so cool. I just keep picturing you on this really busy New York street, this bizarre situation, and then suddenly a fan. That's crazy to me. That whole setup is just kind of wild.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
You hadn't got your author suit on. You weren't like signing.
I wasn't wearing
somewhere.
A shirt saying, I'm Luke Romain.
But I mean, just the fact that you weren't in that space, you know, you totally were in a relaxed kind of like, that's kind of a fun, really fun story.
In one of the busiest cities in the world.
Exactly. That's what's so cool about it. Yeah. Okay. One thing you'd wish you'd been told about being a writer.
How hard it is. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would have deterred me, but it just would have prepared me a little bit more. You've got to have a very thick skin. You've got to be prepared to just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and just get rejected from all realms of things. When I first started, the concept of being an indie author wasn't even around. There was vanity authors that just, you know, published 5,000 books and had 5,000 books sitting in their basement for years afterwards. You're trying to get through to agents and through to publish and just constantly rejected. And then we got past that stage to the indie author market. And even that early on, no one really cared about it and stuff. And then all of a sudden it boomed. Amazon jumped into the picture and it boomed and everyone wanted to be an author then. And so you're fighting for your place within that market. And it's just there's no easy road in it. And I don't know if there ever will be. I hope that there is. But I look at very successful authors and I've talked to some very successful authors and I don't see them stopping. I don't see them sort of resting on their laurels and going, hey, bring me money. You know, it's a very hard market to be in and very competitive, especially these days.
Right.
So that's what I'd wish I'd known. So.
No, totally. And I totally agree with you. That is a huge part that people don't realize, that you never stop marketing, that you never stop writing, you never stop going. Constantly you're working on your craft in one form or another.
Yeah. I've talked to authors that just say, well, I don't want to do marketing. I also don't bother being an author.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I'm going to get a publisher. You know what? If you're a nobody, your publisher doesn't care about you and they'll put in a minimum amount of marketing for you, which won't do anything. So you still end up in the same spot that I'm in that you have to market.
So, you don't change. Yes. Whether you're traditional or, you know, or indie publisher, you still have to promote your work.
I've worked with traditional publishers and, it's far from being the golden dream that everyone thinks it is.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
And it's a sad thing when you get an author that picks up a publishing contract and goes, oh, I'm going to be a huge overnight success. And it's fine to think that, but you go into these things with your eyes open. Don't go into it naively thinking, oh, the publisher's going to look after me, my agent's going to look after me. They might if there's something in it for them, but as soon as there isn't, they don't really care. It's business.
Right, totally.
Well, true. And then what we've heard from other authors is that's for that one book. Your second book, you're starting fresh. You got to do it all over again unless they pick
that's
you up
exactly
again.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And you see, there's some authors that I would consider huge authors. You know, from my perspective, these are like, you know, number one on the New York Times bestsellers lists and stuff like that. And then they still have to work to get stuff out there. Scott Sigler is a fantastic author. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he just hit number one in the young adult category on the New York Times bestsellers list this week. And he's out having to do the hard work, going to Hollywood to try and sell stuff to agents over there for TV shows and stuff. You would think you get to that point and they'd be banging down your door, but no, apparently not.
Nice work. Good advice. Really good. Wow, what a great interview. We've really enjoyed interviewing you. That's all we've got today, question-wise. Okay. Yeah, this has been great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
good. Yeah, this was a great. You really inspired me today, which is really great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad I can do that at 3 a.m.
I just don't want to see you at 12 o'clock midday. But this is just
no, I'm terrible. That's awful. I'm grumpy.
It's very early in the morning for you.
Yes. I'm not even awake.
Yeah, we got you at
your don't wake me at midday.
Yeah, that's funny.
No, but this has been great. What a great interview.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a lot of fun just getting to know you. And you've got great stories and good information for authors. It's been a really well-rounded interview. Lots of fun. I knew you'd be fun, though. I knew it. I knew you'd be a fun interview. I had that feeling.
So one picture, look at those right. pictures, and we're like, okay, he's going to be fun, this guy.
So. Yeah, I'm not the normal sort of author that you expect.
So if people want to get hold of you, Luke, or they want to find out more about you on social media, where can they do that?
Okay. My website is lukeromaine.com. That's ROMYN.com. And social media, I'm at Luke Romaine on Twitter, and I think it's author Luke Romaine on Facebook. I don't know. There's a couple of things on Facebook. I can't really keep track of it.
Okay. But, yeah. Perfect.
My fair page is author Luke Romaine, I believe.
Cool. Okay, great. So if they put your name in, hopefully you'll come up on Google ranking and they can...
Yeah, chuck my name into Google. There's about 500,000 things on there that come up.
Right. We'll have you in our show notes as well on the website.
Yeah.
So
okay, yeah.
Find it easy, but it's nice to have you say all that in case they don't want to go over to our site. Just go directly to you. Check out all your interesting books, all 11 of them, right? Or 10. 10
yes, 11.
11. Great.
12's on the way.
Yeah. Wow. That's great.
Great. Well, this has been a lot of fun, Luke. I appreciate you coming on with us, and we enjoyed every second.
We did. It was really fun. Super. Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Anytime.
Please join us next week where we re-air a Best of the Blondie and the Brit with Evan Marshall. Evan is an author and a literary agent, and it is a great interview. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.